Have you ever been to Publix a couple of days before a tropical storm? There's no water, bread, cans of soup to be found. We panic when we think we won't have enough, and we feed off the fears of those around us. A couple of times, I had bought a case of water just because everyone else is, and I was worried. Now, I could have filled my tub and make water and freeze it and all those things, but I panicked. I need to have enough. How about the beginning of COVID when there was the great toilet paper shortage? People hoarded toilet paper, which led to a scarcity for the rest of us. Now, I know there was also supply chain issues and stuff, but my neighbor had at least 500 rolls in his garage. I took a picture. Just in case. They're probably still using those. I think it's part of being human to fear we won't have enough. We pray every week for our daily bread, but we are rarely content with just enough. We want extra just in case. I'm a planner at heart, so relying on God's provision rather than having my own contingencies just in case is really hard for me. I'm not suggesting you go to the store every day to buy just that day's food. We don't live in an agrarian society. But think about the things you do stock up on. Is it really that you got a good deal and you will use it? Or is it that you want more than you need just in case? As many of you know, I recently returned from a tour of Israel with the Lavars. If you ever have the opportunity, I strongly encourage you to go. Start saving money. It's worth it. John and Sarah Hall are leading a trip, I think, in May or June. Get a passport and start praying. God may make a way. If not for that trip, then another one down the road. Seeing the land where the Bible happened changes how you read Scripture. Your understanding of concepts that you thought you had a grasp on changed as you find you have missed a lot of the richness that knowing the history and the culture makes clear. What I learned will probably be showing up in sermons for years to come. When I learned, throughout the tour, Psalm 23 kept repeating in my head. So I had to smile when I got back, and I asked Bill for the preaching schedule, and the very first time I was preaching, Psalm 23 is assigned. I guess I know why the Lord kept pointing it out to me. It's a favorite of mine. I pray it frequently over hospice patients, but hearing it in the land was different. As I looked at sheep and shepherds in the wilderness, and as I contemplated the fields around Bethlehem where David shepherded, I came to a deeper understanding of what it means when the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. I have a deeper appreciation for the intricacies of being a shepherd and providing for the sheep with food and water, protection and comfort. We read from the bulletin the version of Psalm 23, which is very poetic. It's not a great translation, though. And we also read it from the King James Version, because that's probably the one you memorized. It's the one I memorized. And if you had a pew Bible, I'd say you could look it up in the ESV, but you don't. So the writer of Psalm 23, David, he learned how to shepherd, as we saw in the Old Testament reading, at a young age. He was good at it. David protected sheep. He guided them. He made sure they had enough food and water. And that's no easy task in Israel. The wilderness is hot and dry and rocky during the day, and it can be very cold at night, and predators come out. Water is scarce, and grass can be sparse. The shepherd has to be prepared for anything. Droughts and floods, heat and cold, wild animals and human thieves. The shepherd has to be knowledgeable about water sources and the difference between nutritious grass and the empty calories of weeds. The shepherd has to intimately know the sheep so he can follow them. They will follow him wherever he leads. Shepherds sometimes travel hundreds of miles to provide for their flock, or at least many miles. When we read in our Old Testament passage that David is keeping the sheep, this is what it means. He's out in the field somewhere, living with the sheep, protecting and caring for them. They didn't have a field out back where they went to get David from. When they sent out to get him, it could have easily been many hours before they found him and brought him back. Samuel knew that, and he waited anyway because David was God's chosen for anointing his king. So when David later writes Psalm 23, this is his point of reference. He hasn't just seen shepherds around. He has lived that life. He understands what it takes to be a good shepherd, so it's not surprising that he uses that metaphor at the beginning of Psalm 23. The concept of a leader being a shepherd was already a common one in the ancient Near East. A shepherd's crook is depicted in art and pottery of that age to indicate the leader. Before being called leaders, Abraham, Jacob, and Moses all spent time as shepherds. We still use the idea of shepherd as a leader today. Our bishops carry a crozier or a shepherd's staff. David knew what it took to be a good shepherd. So he knows that the Lord is a good one. Jesus later identifies himself as the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. I don't need to fear scarcity. I don't have to buy up all the water and bread and cans of soup unless there actually is a need. Imagine what it would be like to be content with the provision that the Lord has provided you. No coveting, no comparisons, no jealousy or envy. When the Lord is our shepherd, our needs are met. Jesus tells us to pray the same thing. Give us this day our daily bread. Our security isn't in material things, but it's in our relationship with the Good Shepherd. He makes me lie down in green pastures. As people who live in a nation with an abundance of food and water, this is difficult for us to relate to. When I have pictured this verse in the past, I picture the green pastures David describes as something like this. Lots of fat sheep, grazing of leisure, water's plentiful. That's clearly not a picture taken in the Middle East. When David wrote about green pastures, he was picturing this. I took that picture, maybe Elvis took that picture, one of us on the bus, when we were in Israel. And I heard the psalm in my head when I saw that. As David knew what that shepherds took sheep to a place that usually provided one meal, and then they would move on. The sheep had to trust that the shepherd would lead them to a new place with just enough food for the next meal. Beautiful as pastoral scenes from Ireland are, sheep don't need to trust the shepherd if food and water is available everywhere. And we live in a nation that's more like Ireland than Israel in terms of abundance of food and water. What does it look like for us to rely on the Lord's daily provision for our needs? What needs do we have that only God, as Good Shepherd, can provide for? He makes me lie down in green pastures. The other remarkable thing about this verse is easily overlooked by those of us not living in an agrarian society. Sheep don't usually lie down in an open field. They're scared and they're skittish. If there's food, they wander and eat. But the Lord invites us to be peaceful around him, trusting in his provision, but also in his protection. What are you afraid of that disturbs your trust in God? Are you afraid of not having enough? Are you worried that the Lord won't be with you in bad times? I invite you to consider what fears you might have that keep you from lying peacefully in his sight no matter what. The Lord wants us to rest in His presence. When the Lord is my shepherd, He leads me beside still waters. Do you see water in that picture? I took it between Jericho and Jerusalem. If you look closely, it's hard to see, I know. There's a Bedouin shepherd at the top, left of center. It's kind of the tallest thing up there. He knows where there's water nearby, even if it isn't obvious to us. Sheep, like people, can't survive very long without water. The shepherd has to know where there's a well or a spring. They have to know where water accumulates when the rains come. Interestingly, sheep don't like moving water and won't drink from it. They're timid, so a river or a creek is not a good water source unless the shepherd diverts water to still places. After a rain in such a dry place, the water moves very quickly, which is both dangerous for sheep, and they're too afraid to drink from it. Shepherds, therefore, stamp out troughs with their feet to pool water so it's still. When the Lord is my shepherd, He leads me beside still waters. He knows what I need. He knows what my capabilities are, as well as what my fears are. And He leads me to safe places where I can partake of His provision. No matter what we might fear, or no matter what makes us anxious, God is taking that into account when He leads us. When the Lord is my shepherd, He restores my soul. The Lord promises to refresh us. His Spirit is both always with us and constantly refilling our souls. We can't take advantage of God's provision unless we allow ourselves to be filled by Him. We cannot give to others what we don't have. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. God knows the right paths for us so that we will give Him glory. We credit Him with our provision. It's not our work or our ingenuity ultimately, but rather acknowledging that every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. As I sit beside the beds of people near the end of life, when the veil between this world and the next is thin, I remind them of this verse. Even though you may be dying, you have nothing to fear because the Lord is near. He is comforting and protecting you. Most of us don't like to think about death. It's a taboo subject often. No one wants to talk about me being a hospice chaplain at a dinner party. They say something like, "Oh, I could never do that," or "People who work for hospice are angels," and then they change the subject. But much as we want to avoid the subject, we are all going to die, short of Jesus' return. We don't know how or when it will come. I like David's description as walking in a valley. Valleys are part of the terrain in Judea. It's all hills and valleys. Everyone walks through valleys. It's part of life. We can see it coming. Sometimes those valleys are dark times in our life, shadows of what is to come. And sometimes the valley leads to death. But either way, the Lord is with us, and we are never alone. You can rest in that knowledge. I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Evil is a part of life. I don't know, or I can't explain, why a good God who's omnipotent allows evil. I know there are all kinds of theological musings on it, probably literally thousands of books, but as far back as the book of Job, the question of why God allows suffering and evil has been present. Job is likely the oldest book in the Bible, written book in the Bible. David doesn't try to answer the question of evil, but he acknowledges that evil is a reality. It's a reality for him, it was a reality for us. We can't pretend that suffering and evil doesn't affect us. trusting in the Good Shepherd means God is greater than the fear of evil. We have nothing to fear, even evil, because God is with us. God, who is light, will overcome the darkest shadows in whatever valley we find ourselves in. I find that very reassuring, as darkness is overcome by light. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Shepherds traditionally have two versatile tools of the trade made from tree branches or roots, the rod and the staff. The staff is often used to protect and rescue. They rescue sheep like a trapped animal with a crook. They move branches out of the way. They ensure sheep don't fall on a narrow path. It was a symbol of care of the flock, the staff. The shepherd used it to provide gentle help, direction, and encouragement. And over the centuries in the ancient world, it became a symbol of authority and rule. Tribal leaders in ancient art and pottery were often depicted with a staff. The shepherd's rod is usually used more for defense, as well as inspecting and counting sheep. It's a shorter tool, think club, like that, often made from a root of a tree with a natural bulb at the end. It protected the flock against threats, both human and animal. It was also sometimes thrown with great accuracy to correct a straying sheep and remind him to stay with the flock. This disciplinary function was intended to ensure the flock's well-being and their safety. Over time, the rod became a symbol of discipline in the family and in nations. The more refined rod that leaders held over time was a scepter, same idea, which several prophets used as an expression for the political autonomy of a nation. David describes being comforted by the rod and the staff because it means that the sheep are safe, they're nurtured, they're healthy, and they're known. One of the uses of the staff is to simply lay the staff against a special animal. It's a caring checking in. Tim Keller describes it as to be in touch. Perhaps this animal needs encouragement. Perhaps it's a wanderer. Maybe it's just the shepherd's favorite. The shepherd takes time to pay special attention to the sheep, to this one sheep. Because God cares about each sheep, each of us, uniquely. And I love that image. The Lord being in touch with us is comforting. And being in touch is something we can do as well. So think about who in your life needs you to be in touch. Who needs your special attention? If it's a child, or a coworker, or a friend, someone you could mentor, look around. Pay attention to the wanderer, the lonely, the sick, the oppressed. They may need your touch. David changes the metaphor in verse 5 to God being a host, and that's another sermon. I'm not going to go there. I want to focus on the shepherd imagery. But listen to it again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have no needs that God doesn't provide for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He feeds me and he gives me rest. He leads me beside still waters. He knows not only my needs, but my fears and my capabilities, and he cares for all of them. He restores my soul. His spirit fills me again and again and again. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me, God leads me on the right paths for me because I carry his name. I'm made in his image. All of us are. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. No matter what comes against me, whether it be an outward threat, disease, a break in a relationship, a job loss, heartbroken, anything. The Lord is with me. He leads me and disciplines me, He provides for me and protects me. Therefore, I am comforted. This Lenten season, focus on the good gifts the Lord has given you. Be content with what you have. Be generous with your overflow. Be grateful and know that He is right there beside you when you feel Him and when He seems distant, because He's never away from your side. He is our shepherd. We don't have to worry or be anxious. We don't have to fear the valleys or shadows of our life. We don't even need to fear evil or death, because you are safe with the Good Shepherd. Rest and partake of God's provision. He's got you no matter what. Please stand for the creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Please be seated for prayer as we join together in the prayers of the people.